Greetings and welcome on board our WKOK Sunrise Show. We had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to meet Dave Jacobson. He's one of the co-founders of the Days of Remembrance essay, and he is back with us today. Welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot for having me here, Mark.
I really appreciate you coming in. We're talking about a simple thing, an essay contest for people of high school age. Introduce us to this contest, and we'll really talk about why it's so critically important that this happen and that students remember.
Well, thanks again for having me, Mark. The Days of Remembrance essay contest is for any high school student in five counties in the central Susquehanna Valley. That includes Northumberland, Union, Snyder, Montour, and Lycoming counties. Any high school student can participate in the essay contest. You can be in a private school, homeschooled, cyber school, public school. Any high school student can participate. And if you go to daysofremembrance.org, all the information about the essay contest is there. It's just a few pages long, and the topic of the essay is the Holocaust. And our goal is to encourage students to learn about the Holocaust.
Well, in a moment, we're going to find out what is the Holocaust that we are remembering with a real expert. David Wisney is going to be on the phone, so we're going to have an opportunity to talk to him, and we'll really discuss why remembering is so critically important. But this happens at a time when history isn't taught in precisely the same way, and there are some young people who don't have the word Holocaust top of the mind for what it really was.
Yeah, you know, the Holocaust is so recent. This is happened during World War II. This is only about 70 years ago. And unfortunately, so many people today don't know anything about the Holocaust. And millions of people were murdered for no reason other than the way that they were born. And it's so important to remember that millions of people were killed and why they were killed, and to remember it and try and avoid it from happening in the future.
And you want people, young people, to get involved. Go to daysofremembrance.org and bone up on the specifics of how to participate and to write an essay.
That's exactly right. We're hoping to get as many high school students to participate. If you're a teacher, if you're a parent of a high school student, it would be great for you to encourage your child or students to participate. We have some incentives for teachers if it's done as a group project, and we have cash prizes. The first prize will be a $500 check written out to the student, and the second place will be a $250 check, and we'll have up to 20 honorable mention awards, with each of those being $100, a $100 award for an honorable mention. And we're looking forward to reading essays from the high school students. It's only 500 to 700 word essay, and so it's just a few pages long, and it would be great to get as many students to participate and learn about the Holocaust as possible.
500 bucks for 700 words, that is pretty good pay.
We really just want to encourage students to learn about the Holocaust, and hopefully the money will be a bonus, but what we're really trying to do is to get students to think about the events of the Holocaust and to take away lessons learned from it and to apply those lessons learned to their lives today.
What are those lessons? What kind of lessons did we learn then that we can apply today?
Well, when I think about the Holocaust, you know, you think about the early 40s, when the Nazis murdered 6 million Jews and over 5 million people that they considered lesser than the Aryans or the white people. And that did not start just in the 40s or even in the 30s when Hitler rose to power. But the idea of making people less than human, that's really where it starts. When you start to say a group of people is not as equal as other people, or a whole subsection of people aren't the same or different somehow. As soon as you make a group of people to be subhuman, then you can really do anything to that group. If you really believe that they're not equal or not human, that opens up all kinds of possibilities for abuse. And the decision to murder all these people is called the final solution. And that didn't happen right away. They didn't talk about murdering people in the beginning. It happened over time. But it starts when people are not considered equal.
Let's hear from David Wisnia. David Wisnia, he is a World War II survivor, a Holocaust survivor. He is in charge of the book Two Lives, talking about his two lives as a child growing up and in Poland, and then as a prisoner at Auschwitz, and then as a soldier in the 101st Airborne, and then as an American citizen. I think you have quite a few stories that you can tell us today. I have with me now Dave Jacobson is here. He's a Lewisburg, Pennsylvania resident and a co-founder of the essay contest Days of Remembrance. They started the essay contest, Mr. Wisnia, because they knew that there were students around here who couldn't accurately answer what the Holocaust was. What is your reaction when you hear that there are local people who may not remember the Holocaust?
Well, I am shocked because it's such an event. It was a gross situation of murdering people without any cause, without any reason. Remember, when I went to Auschwitz, we were condemned, but I wrote this with mind, to live in a cesspool where evil reigned supreme, really. All religious, moral, cultural, social, judicial restraints on human behavior be ignored. The bounds that the bounds that hold humans together into civilized entities were absolutely torn, asunder and blatantly disregarded. There was no legal or social section for murder, and that's exactly what happened. The greatest proof is the transport that I came in with 1,500 people in 1942. To Auschwitz, never heard of it in my life. Only 500 young boys, all people who looked like could work, were taken into the camp. And the only reason I survived, I was only 16. I told them I was 18 because I understood German. And I heard the SS man, the doctor, or so-called doctor, say, alle Männer über 18 zum Lager. In other words, every man over 18, they should go into the camp. I never heard the word lager in my life. But anyway, we made it in. The rest, close to 1,000, were killed, we found out, the following morning, of course. Automatically.
You survived, ironically, by using an art that you had learned, singing. Explain how that helped keep you alive, and then beyond that, just perseverance and resilience kept you going.
Well, the first couple of weeks, because I was in such good physical shape, I was a tall kid, blonde, sharp, I was selected to carry the dead bodies of people who, when they found out their families were killed, went to the wire, so to speak. All they had to do is put their foot over that where the electrified barbed wire fence was, and a guard would kill them. And my job for the first couple of weeks was collecting those bodies into a barrel, going around with another prisoner, and taking them to a place where they were finally burned. It's very difficult for me to get into this. Whenever I talk about it, I get sick.
Well, as time goes on, you had an opportunity to sing for your survival. Tell us about that.
You see, what happened after a couple of weeks of doing that, had I continued to do this, I would have never made it. Really, I would have never lived. But 2 weeks, approximately 2 weeks after doing this, coming into cell block, where we were stationed in cell block 14, the first couple of nights, the cell block leader yelled out, "Who can sing here?" And everybody, you know, knew Wisnia sang. And I sang German, I sang Polish, I sang you name it. And my big song that was popular then was "Man muss der Klavier spielen können, wer Klavier spielt hat Glück." I don't frown. It's quite a song that was popular. And boy, those SS men who came in, who were in charge of the blocks, or the cell block leaders, loved it. So I became a privileged prisoner.
Of course, you did not sing any Jewish songs. You didn't sing anything in Yiddish while you were there.
Well, when I sang in Yiddish, I wrote a song. Actually, when I found out the detail of the gassings, when I saw it a couple of weeks later at that little white house, I really wrote a song. There are two songs we're trying to add to my book. One of them is in Polish. Auschwitz is a parody. It's too bad that we didn't have it in the first book, in the first issue. One Voice, Two Lives, that is out now. But we're going to add that. It's a Polish song, and then there was a song in Yiddish, believe it or not. I wasn't allowed to speak Yiddish because I went to a private Hebrew school. My language was Hebrew and Polish. Hebrew, strictly Hebrew. I speak, read, and write Hebrew and Polish, of course, fluently. So, and a few other languages with it. And my singing is what eventually attracted the SS. And I used to entertain them on occasion at the end of the month at their drunken parties. So,
well, at some point you are able to make an escape, and really right before your death, as near as you can tell, you end up headed to Birkenau, and then you do make an escape, and you end up in the hands of the U.S. airborne troops.
I was at the... in Auschwitz until the end of December 1944. I went on a death march to Dachau. We made it to Dachau. And that was quite an experience in itself. But from Dachau, I realized Dachau was total chaos. As Auschwitz was planned murder, everything was in order, you know, the German style, believe it or not. It worked even though it was a death process, but it was orderly, if you can call it that. Now, it changed that when I came to Dachau, there was no place to sleep, no place to eat, no place for nothing. So I was hanging around the office waiting for transport to leave Dachau. And on one of these transports, we're talking now about January, February 1945. Please bear in mind the war was not over until May 7th, 1945, at which time I was already an American, so to speak. I shed my back quite well, and I became 101% American, and still am.
And you helped the 101st Airborne Soldiers. You're one of the few people in the world, maybe the only, that can say that you were a young Jewish boy in Poland, were an Auschwitz prisoner, and then...
I'm an Auschwitz prisoner, and I became, yes, and I became, they didn't realize it, 101st Airborne Trooper. I talked down some of the SS. You see, the Wehrmacht started to give up in March and April, particularly at the end of April. So I used to be used, or I was used by my unit, the 506 Parachute Infantry, H Company, of which I became an integral part. That was my life. I totally shed my European veneer. That was the end of my My service, actually, to the 101st was to talk down some of the SS to throw out down their arms. Because of my fluent German, they accepted it.
Mr. Wisnia, this is Dave Jacobson. We're conducting this essay contest because we're trying to encourage students to remember the Holocaust. Can you give your perspective on what you hope students remember about the Holocaust?
Well, I said it right at the beginning. You see, we were in a cesspool of evil. That's what Birkenau was, really. They should remember that once people disregard law or human, human behavior, they become worse, four-legged animals. And that's exactly what happened to the SS that was ruling the camps of Auschwitz and Birkenau.
Can you talk about, in that environment with the SS, what was going on with common people in Poland around you? How did they interact, or what was their reaction?
Well, the majority, please remember, we moved into Warsaw. My father, Poland does not have or did not have a middle class. Now, I happen to have been lucky because my father was a carpenter, and he had a shop making upholstered goods for the stores in Warsaw. So we were, and I went to a very, very private school. I already knew German, Polish, Hebrew fluently at the age of 9, you can imagine that, or 10. So it was a question of being a privileged kid all along. And my singing, and of course, was what kept me alive, really. All I had to do. And those assessments, they loved music.
Today, this essay contest is for individuals who are in and around the age of 16. It's not just for 16-year-olds, but 16-year-olds will be among the people competing in this essay contest, Days of Remembrance. What do you want them to remember? They're the same age you were, more than a half a century ago.
Well, if they have some kind of a background, a belief in some higher being than just themselves, really, that there is a, if you'll pardon, a God, whatever you call God, if they believe that there is something more than themselves, and have a little honor, respect for the next person, regardless of who they are, what they are, what they look like. Something like this could never have happened. I get the greatest honor where I just did last week in Tampa, Florida, where I am selected, called, introduced as our own little Davies, going to sing the national anthem at the gathering of the 101st Airborne last week on Saturday night. I did that, and I do this every year. I go to Tampa, Florida. They call it the Snowbird Reunion of the 101st. And let me tell you, I am the proudest American you will ever find. And it breaks my heart when I hear that somebody desecrates the flag or the national anthem or whatever. Just unbelievable. My message to the people is, if they ever heard of the, the Bible, in the first book, there is a section in section 12, in the first chapter 12 of Genesis, it says, be a blessing. And that's exactly what I would like for them to be. Do something good to improve this life. And nothing like horror of World War II will happen again.
That was David Wisnia on the Newsline. We thank Sean Carey serving as our producer to make sure that that interview went okay. And Avi Wisnia, his son, is assisting to make sure that we were able to get this information out. We'll have all the website information about the two lives and some other video links for folks at WKOK.com. We'll add that to our archive on the WKOK Sunrise page. Dave Jacobson, Lewisburg resident, one of the founders of Days of Remembrance. Please wrap us up here with some additional remarks, please.
Well, Mark, thanks for having me on to talk about Days of Remembrance. And for all of you listening, you can go to daysofremembrance.org to find out more about the essay contest. I'd really like to take a moment to thank everybody that's been involved in this project, including David Young, Ray Huff, Cliff Readers, Josh Readers, Todd Hoover, and we have two excellent evaluators of the essays who focus in their professional careers on the Holocaust, and those people are Professor David M. Huff and Jennifer Boyer-Swatala. And I'd just like to recognize each of those people for their contribution to this essay contest, for making it a contest that encourages people to learn about the Holocaust and is also done in a fair way, and that we're doing it in a method that equally evaluates each essay and is encouraging the students to learn in the most effective way about the Holocaust. So thank you to all those people.
And if folks weren't there at the very beginning of our interview, you have helped to co-found, and all those other individuals are assisting to keep going, an essay contest to remember the Holocaust. You want young people to sign up and get involved and submit an entry.
Yes, you can go to daysofremembrance.org. All the information about the essay contest is there. We're in the middle of the period where people can submit essays, and our deadline for the essay submissions is March 15th.
Thank you so much, David. Thanks for coming in today, and thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Daysofremembrance.org.